KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent. I'm your host today, as usual. We'd like to thank all of our sponsors, all the people out there that have supported us.
Yes, we do.
There's a bunch of you now. We got, Patrick Jones has been really instrumental in helping us, and all the Tea Party folks, and gosh.
Yeah, the community pulled together and is helping us quite well out there.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, we got some really good supporters. We're supposed to have Gary Catt in here today, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, okay. Very good. He'll be in here in a little bit. Go through our housekeeping here to start with. You're listening to 1460 KCNR Free Fire Radio, community radio, home of the North State, and No Fear Radio for the Sovereign Minds. There you have it. Today is, I guess today, I forgot to change the date. It is the 3rd. August 3rd, 2013. Let's see, I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Savannah, our trusted soundboard operator and all around great gal.
Oh, thank you.
I was doing a Porky Pig on there. She's good. So, we are streaming worldwide. This is KCNR again. 1460.com is where you want to go. Or you can call in at 530-605-4567. All shows are podcast and archived as well. You can friend me on Facebook at Mark, M-A-R-K-E, middle initial, Kent, K-E-N-T. Do we have any veterans events?
Yes, we do. We have the Wall of Remembrance coming August 9th through 11th, and that's going to be out at Big League Dreams. This is the Gulf War on Terrorism Wall. I was actually able to view it when I was in Reno this week, and it's pretty cool. So,
cool.
If you could go out there and check it out. Again, it's August 9th through 11th. There is no fee to view the wall, out there. So come out and take a look and join us in, supporting this.
Very good. We also have a Prepper's grand opening in Corning today, and that will be at 11, and that's at Solano Street in Corning at the old Radio Shack building. They're having I'm not sure exactly what that's going to be all about.
Well, that could be interesting.
But anybody who's not prepping is really not paying attention.
You're missing the boat, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's see what else we got here. We've got Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m., 2570 South Bonneview at Destiny Fellowship. I'm not sure who's there.
I'm not sure what's going on this weekend either.
Maybe we can get a call in from somebody, and they'll let us know what's going on Monday. And my first quote is, true knowledge comes only through suffering. That's Elizabeth Barrett Browning. True knowledge only comes through suffering. So, I always say
that's an interesting one.
I always say there's purity in suffering, you know. That's what I tell the kids all the time, you know. I guess you just don't quite get it till you figure it out through the pain.
Have to have a little pain.
Yeah, a little bit of pain goes a long way. So, with that, let's see what else we got. Oh, we got Kevin just joined us from Montana on the chat room. How you doing, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm having issues with the chat room. I don't know. So
yeah, we got to get Linda fixed up. She's usually kind of in charge of the chat room. And this morning and last week, for some reason, she can get on there. You can see her name, but she can't type anything. So we're going to have to try to fix that. But so if the chat room's a little unresponsive, bear with us. It's hard for me to talk, chew gum, and type at the same time.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we know.
Yeah, it's hard for me to just chew gum sometimes, but. Anyway, so we got a few headlines here today. Man, I'll tell you what, some of the stuff you just can't make up. We've got, excuse me, I've got from, this is from Infowars.com. We've got SEAL Team 6, 6 families, SEAL Team 6 families, force Congress to investigate the mysterious chopper crash. It seems that the chopper that crashed with the SEAL Team 6 in Afghanistan in 2011 has all the earmarks of a setup to get rid of the guys that maybe knew too much about bin Laden and that raid and all that stuff. So they're investigating it. Another investigation has started.
Well, let's hope it goes a little bit better than some of the other ones.
Well, I'll tell you, with these guys, they talk about, you know, transparency. Yeah, transparency what? You know, really? I was looking at, I forget which program it was the other day, and they showed all the documents that they had subpoenaed from the I believe it was the IRS, or it could have been, maybe the NSA, I don't remember. Every page, there was like 1,200 pages, was black.
Yeah.
And they're transparent, right? You know, they just redact everything, and then it's just like a big...
I think it was the IRS, and I was thinking...
It's like a
Because I saw that, and I was thinking, you know, because we deal with the IRS a lot, that could you imagine if we submitted our documents...
Yeah.
Like that.
Well, it's a thumb in the eye. They're not trying to be cooperative at all. It's a thumb in the eye. So let's see. Here's another one. New Monsanto growth initiative sprouts up. Thanks to the, this comes from the Motley Fool, that's the, at www.fool.com. And thanks to the Environmental Protection Agency, you can now eat more of Monsanto's herbicide Roundup in your food. Because there wasn't, so anyway, what they've done basically is they've kind of been putting pressure on the EPA so that they can leave more pesticides in your food, Roundup, and, you know, it's just unbelievable. And then, you know, Monsanto is probably the worst,
yep,
you know, there is. But, you know, the EPA, who's supposed to be the Environmental Protection Agency. But my theory is any government agency that says this is what they do, like the Environmental Protection Agency, it's like the Environmental Unprotected Agency.
Yeah, look, or, on the opposite side of
it. Yeah, it's
you
always
know,
the opposite. Social insecurity, you name it. I mean, it's utterly ridiculous.
You know, I was talking to where we get our fresh milk, the dairyman, a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying that with the labeling, like with EPA and all of that, that it only has to be 30% organic for them to label it organic now. Believe that?
You just get tired of the lies. It's just a constant variety of lies. And, Kevin says transparent as the Berlin Wall. That's exactly right. Well, we need to tear down the wall. And some of the other things I got going here, secret DARPA, this comes from activistpost.com, secret DARPA mind control project revealed leaked documents. Now, does anybody even know who DARPA is?
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I know. So I had to look them up, and they are, let me get in here to these guys, and I'll come back to that. I'll come back to this DARPA thing because I got to open up another website here. That's the Bank of Cyprus deposits. This is from Yahoo Finance. The Bank of Cyprus depositors lose 47.5% of their savings. And this is the bailout that happened in Cyprus where they froze everybody's bank accounts not too long ago. Anybody that it had exceeding 100,000 euros, that's 132,000 American money, the government said on Monday that they were just going to confiscate 47% of all of their funds.
Oh,
and you still can't
nice.
Get your money out of the bank, but of course that could never ever happen here because it's not the same bankers that were there.
Yeah, right.
Is it? So anyway, let's go back to the DARPA thing and see if I can figure out what we got here. We got a minute left. We got Gary just stepped in. DARPA, it's a defense contract agency. I can't seem to pull the website up. I had it and then my computer froze this morning. But, here it is. Here we go. It's the, they have a bunch of stuff on there. It's a defense contractor agency that's, they're doing robots and all kinds of stuff. But, I want to get some more information on this DARPA stuff. They're, it looks like they've got an Atlas robot that they just, built, improved water purification technology. Anyway, there's some kind of a defense contractor, and I was just kind of curious as to who they were. So we'll follow up a little bit more on that. But, DARPA, they're building mind control projects. You know? Where does it end?
Yeah.
Okay, so we...
Nothing like that would be going on.
No, not at all. Here's another one. U.S. welfare food shipped offshore in huge barrels to be sold on black market in developing nations. Yeah, you can't make this stuff up. It's, and if this, you know, look it up. Now this is on the naturalnews.com. And, I'll tell you what, I think we got to go to a break and we'll come back, finish a few more stories and Gary's here. So.
All right. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. People stop and stare. I can't see their faces. Only the shadows.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar.
Join me, Paul Preston, Monday through Fridays from 10 a.m. to noon for Agenda 21 Radio, right here on KCNR 1460 AM. And visit our website at agenda21radio.com.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, boy.
Well, that helped out getting the morning started, you know?
A lot better now. Now, we can, I got the definition for the DARPA. It's the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. Did anybody even know we had a DARPA out there?
Nope.
Hmm. So anyway, we got, let me just cover the last of what I have pulled up here before we get to Gary here. There was one other thing I wanted to talk about. Oh yeah. When police wear cameras, what happens? This is interesting because in the department, the police department in Rialto, California is currently experimenting. This comes from, the hipsterlibertarian.com. They're currently experimenting with requiring its officers to wear tiny lapel cameras to record audio and visual of all their intentions and interactions with citizens. So far, the results have been 88% decline in the number of complaints against officers.
Imagine that.
And after 12 months, okay, is also, there is also a decline, of, force used. It says Rialto's police officers also use force nearly 60% less often. So I guess when they have a lapel camera, they're a little bit more hesitant to wrap you up the side of the head with a baton.
Anyway. It's called evidence.
Yeah, I know. So it's actually a good thing. It seems to be curbing some of the problems down there, you know, with the police officers and having a better relationship with the community. And then I just had another story here that there was a police officer in Detroit. Well, actually, they arrested police officers because they were, for about a week or two, people had been getting pulled over by what they thought were fake police officers, and they were robbing people.
But they were real police officers?
Turns out these are real cops.
They just didn't know they had any.
So
Well, they need to get one of those cameras then.
I know. So, I mean, it's like, what kind of mentality is that? Just think about that for a second. You know, here's a police officer, and I'm not, you know, this is no, you know, slide on police officers. I think most of them are great guys and, you know, they do a great job. But, you know, but how did that guy slip through the cracks? This guy's a sergeant, and how did he slip through the cracks where, you know, he's robbing people at gunpoint in uniform? Yeah. And to think that he could even get away with that at some point, you know. Anyway, I just thought that was a heck of a story. So we've got Gary Cadd here with us today.
Good morning.
City Council extraordinaire. And I'm not sure exactly what we're going to talk about, but I have the impression that Gary will astound us because he's always a plethora of information.
Well, the thing is we can talk about several things we can talk about. We could talk about the Turtle Bay and McConnell Foundation buying some property down within the Turtle Bay lease. We could talk about the pension problems that the city has. The one thing I would like to mention is we were just talking about police officers in Detroit. I would be greatly surprised if we had any kind of a problem such as that with Reading Police Department because I've got a hearing aid that's screaming at me, and I thought maybe you could hear it. Okay. We have a fantastic police department in the city of Reading.
I got to agree, and Sheriff's Department, too.
I would like to see more sworn police officers on the streets, but through the worldwide economic meltdown, we've had to lower those numbers.
Oh, we're in recovery, Gary. Stop it.
Yeah, right. get me started on that. We'll start talking about the sales tax increases.
I want to go back to the pensions, though. I got something I wanted to say about that.
Okay.
I don't want to interrupt you, though.
No, that's fine. Fine. It's rather interesting in the last month and a half. 2 months, I guess probably about 2 months, I've been fortunate enough to meet with CalPERS deputy actuarial and then the actual chief actuarial for CalPERS. And the information is quite interesting and astounding. CalPERS, right now the city of Reading is roughly $200 million short-funded or underfunded for CalPERS, for retirement. Now, keep in mind that the public safety is all CalPERS in their retirement, and then all the other employees, and for whatever reason they call them miscellaneous, they're certainly not miscellaneous employees. I'd like to find a different word for them, but the miscellaneous employees have two pension plans. One is CalPERS, and one is called PARS. It's a private, not a government retirement plan. But between the CalPERS and PARS, we are $200 million short-funded. CalPERS has decided that they want to smooth this into picking up these arrears. And we've got two different scenarios in front of us, that they will start increasing in the fiscal year 15-16 by $1.7 million, and it will increase up to 1920 to $8.5 million, or, including some assumptions, It will go to 2.7 up to 13.5 million increase. And then these figures will continue for an additional 25 years to pull us back out of this hole.
Well, that kind of takes me to what I want to talk about. You know, I noticed that, was it Francie Sullivan that was on, Carl this last week?
I believe so.
Yeah. I believe so. And she was basically, you know, they got under the subject of Detroit. Detroit's falling apart and a huge part of the problem there. I mean, I'm sure there's more than one. Is that the unfunded liabilities for pensions? And when she, and I wish I would, was near a phone, I would have called in because Carl, I don't think pressed her enough in my opinion on it, because she basically said that that's a different problem than we have in Reading, because those guys just spend too much money, and you know, so their unfunded liabilities are really not a problem, and Reading's much more under control, basically, is the situation that, you know, she was saying was existing. So I don't know how you can put that together with what you're saying right now to me.
Well, I would beg to disagree with the councilwoman. The city of Reading is financially, budget-wise, we are in good shape. We're showing a slight increase in our profits. The figures that I've just given you will be above and beyond where we're budgeted now. In other words, this is money we don't have.
Right.
This is money we don't have.
Then how can anybody say you're solvent? You know, I mean, you can't.
Let's put it this way.
Is that based on the fact that the market's going to have a 12% return?
No. No, no. The thing we look at in that Mr. Starman and I have talked about this issue. I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about this issue, and at first, you know, I was bringing up bankruptcy, insolvency, and we said those are two words that we can't use because Reading will not become bankrupt.
Right.
But what will happen to the city of Reading is it will no longer be a full service city.
It's not bankrupt, but we're going to cut services to the public, and usually they cut the primary services that are the most needed, like fire, police.
Well, it's what we've already done.
Right.
I mean, in the budget reductions from 08 up to today, we've had to make cuts.
So how does that make sense that we've, you know, if you look at some of these retirement plans that I've looked at, you know, people are basically getting rich off their retirements. You know, it's not the same kind of retirement that my mother retired on from the post office and, you know, that type of thing. I mean, it's more of a, gee, I get 125 grand a year or whatever it is, plus bennies. Well,
and the thing with it was back in March, I mean, I'm sorry, back in June the 15th, I was in Sacramento in a meeting that David Lamoureux, who is a deputy actuarial for the CalPERS, was in the room. And he made the statement to about 50 people from all over the state of California, different cities. He made the statement that CalPERS needs to get the city's attention. Well, I waited until the next time I got the microphone, and I told him, I said, respectfully, David, you are CalPERS here in the room today, but I said, I'm going to have to say that the comment you made was incorrect. And he said, what comment was that? And I said, the comment was that CalPERS needs to get the city's attention. And I said, respectfully, the cities need to get CalPERS' attention. And the 50 people in the room, quite a number of them were clapping loudly. Then a month later, I met with Alan Milligan, the chief actuarial for the state. And we talked about these assumptions that they wanted to add to this unfunded portion.
So it doesn't make any sense because, and I want to correct that it was Missy MacArthur,
yeah,
not
exactly.
Francie Sullivan. We apologize, I don't know if it's Miss or Mrs. Sullivan, but, it was Missy MacArthur. And so, but, you know, getting right back on track here, but at the same time, we got AB 109 coming down on us. There's prisons
again,
and that's 10,000 more, I guess,
mm-hmm.
this time. So we're already seeing crime, you know, going off the charts in Reading. And so we got more prisoner release. So we're going to cut back on police and fire. See, this doesn't compute because, you know, you're not supposed to retire on a pension from the state, city, local government, at, you know, an early age and live like a king. That's not what it's supposed to be about. I mean, and that seemed, but you know, this, I keep hearing, oh, we earned it. Okay. But what happens when you sink the whole ship And you're going to end up like Detroit if you're not careful, where you need, your contracts are null and void. You renegotiate everything, even the old retirement plans. They're no longer valid, and everything gets renegotiated if you're not careful. Is that what we're kind of looking at here?
Well, we are. And I believe a break's coming up here. But after the break, I'd like to show you why we're this $200 million underfunded.
Okay.
All right, and with that, if you want to call in, again, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Be told you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curve.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
This Sunday, we welcome mining rights advocate and historian Kirby Jackson. He and his ancestors mined for gold in southern Oregon. And today, Kirby continues the fight against increasing governmental regulation and unconstitutional micromanagement surrounding the mining community. Learn more this week on We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR. The home of good health in Redding for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli, featuring no-nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Redding community for over 30 years, family-owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition Experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Redding.
Pulse Urgent Care welcomes back Dr. Richard Musselman, joining Dr. Clayton Reinhardt, Dr. Seeger Beatty, and family nurse practitioner Deborah Wright in Pulse's newly expanded facility. Pulse doctors are available to serve you for any urgent care needs 7 days a week from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. Flu shots are now available. Pulse Urgent Care is on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart. Call 722-1111 or visit pulseurgentcare.com. Medicare and private insurances are accepted. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
I said if I can't feel it, then how could it be? No magic could happen to me. And then I saw you, I couldn't believe it. You took my heart, I couldn't retrieve it. Said to myself, what's it all about? Now I know there can be no doubt. You can do magic.
Yeah, we're going to need a little magic.
Magic it is. It's going to take magic.
It's going to take
a
some
lot
magic.
Of magic.
We were just discussing the muni bond situation across the board, and that's part of the issue. Now, tell me what we just talked about the increase in the pension, and that's PARS, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. There's, as I mentioned, there's two different retirement plans. And this one instance that I'm going to bring up was concerning PARS, which is the miscellaneous employee second retirement plan. In October of 2004, the city council and staff saw fit to increase the percentage from 2% to 2.7%. Now, folks, what you do is you take the number of years served times this 2% or 2.7, and then that figures out how much they would make in retirement. Now, going from 2%, if the person was making $100,000 in their last year, 2 times 30 years is 60, would be $60,000. If you take the 2.7 times 30, is $81,000. Now, this increase was implemented on January the 1st of 2005. The real problem with this is, thanks to our lovely state legislature, it was allowed to be made retroactively. In other words, it went back to the first day the person went to work for the city of Reading, the employee went to work for the city of Reading. Now, if a person had been working for the city of Reading for, say, 15 years, that would go back to day one that they hired on with the city. This was unfunded. The city of Reading, on January 1st of 2005, took on a $17.9 million debt to the retirement, PARS retirement fund, as of that date. $17.9 million. That has never been picked up. And now we're going back. Now at this date, we have to go back and pick it up. Now that also pertains to CalPERS. There were changes made to CalPERS when public safety went from 2% to 3%. It was made retroactive. When they went from age 55 down to 50, it was made retroactively. So this is where all these $200 million, where this bill is coming
from. Who was responsible for that change? Is that by vote of council?
By vote of council.
Vote of council, and I'm assuming you and Patrick voted against that.
Patrick and I were on there, it probably would have been screaming bloody
murder. Okay, this was a while ago then.
Yeah, it was
2005.
Yeah,
okay, so they voted that in, and that's a union contract, I'm assuming?
Well, it's a state law that CalPERS that you can do this, and then the unions, of course, know it, and they push the city councils to pass it. So over these last few years, I'm just using the PARS statement here. I mean, you could go back and do the public safety and some of those, but all of that adds up to $200 million.
Well, and then that takes us to what we were kind of talking about over the break on the muni bonds. I mean, what people don't realize is that what happened in Detroit is going to start happening across the board here because, you know, these unfunded liabilities, people think that you're going to make it up in the market. Well, this whole illusion of recovery and growth, you can't make that. You can't make up for that, and the city's going to eat this. And if you keep doing what you're doing on these unfunded liabilities, and these muni bonds start going bad, because look at what happened in Detroit. The people who get the haircut are bondholders. People don't understand a lot of times what's going on here. When they file a bankruptcy like this, the reason they didn't want to call it a bankruptcy and they did everything possible, the people, the unions, to stop it, is because once that bankruptcy is filed, then all these things are renegotiated and the bondholders are going to take either a haircut or they're going to lose part of their bonds. And I'm not sure exactly the whole process, but this is going to start escalating out into other cities. We already know that there's at least 8 other major cities that are right on the edge of this. San Francisco is one of them. Oakland is another. Los Angeles. And it's just coincidence that most of these are really liberal cities. But what's going to happen here, if we're not careful, is that all of these contracts get renegotiated when they go belly up, because you can't fund these things anymore because the market isn't getting better. And anybody who believes we're in recovery is an absolute blind moron, in my opinion, because you can – I don't care how many times you say recovery, recovery, recovery. We've heard it, you know, a million times over the last 5 years. It's not getting better because we haven't addressed the underlying structural problems at all. All we've done is print more money and bail everybody out. And guess what? We've created more and more debt on this. And that's what's happening across the board at the local, county, state level. We just keep getting farther and farther into debt. And if you think that you can just keep getting farther and farther into debt and there's not going to be any repercussions, you're a fool.
Well, Mark, this is the reason why when I came on the council, I knew about this issue. I didn't realize the depth of this issue and just how bad it was. And that's why I have been talking about this issue almost since I was seated on the council. And I'm not going to stop talking about it. I know that I'm the city's delegate to the League of California Cities, and I've been going to the league meetings where I've been meeting different council members from all up and down the state. And they've been asking, but what are some of the problems in your city? And come to find out, the problems in their city are the problems with the Reading's having. That we're having these problems all up and down the state. So what I am pushing for is actually a conversation amongst city council people from up and down the state about what these problems are and about how to move forward to solve these problems. And there are probably a number of different ways we can solve the problem, all of which I don't know that I'm buying into any of them at the moment, because it's not a Gary Cad solving the issue. It's a bunch of people getting together to solve the issue.
Yeah, I got Philip asking on the chat room here, you know, what else is the city, city of Reading spending money on in 205 and not retirement funds? So, you know, basically, you know, he's asking, gee, where's all the rest of the money going? You know, is it, how's it being spent? So I'm just, the only reason I'm bringing that up on the, from the chat room here is because, you know, there's this thought process that we can cut down on all these other expenditures. Well, what does the city spend money on?
Mark, what are the major expenditures?
I
would say just offhand, we probably shouldn't cut any money out of street maintenance. I mean, I think everybody out there is probably going, Gary's right on that one.
In Reading, yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, and here's another one. You know, in the time since I've been a councilman, I've been going around and visiting a lot of the departments and seeing what they're doing, meeting the people on the job and seeing what they're doing. I know that I stopped in one day that Public Works Director Brian Crane and I went to the Foothill Water Treatment Plant up here off of Eureka Way. I told him at the time that this is a problem waiting to happen. Well, we had a problem there back in the middle of June when a fuse blew. It was an REU fuse, simple take the fuse out, put a new fuse in, and hit the button and turn it back on again. There are so many Band-Aids in the Foothill Water Treatment Plant because it's so old and it needs work. So where are our priorities? We need to upgrade the Foothill Water Treatment Plant. Pump Station 1, which is down on the river, just north of the Diesel Horse Bridge. That plant, that building down there, is 4 years older than I am, and I'm old. The newest pump that was put in that plant, was put in 1967. So we need a water upgrade. And the day that fuse blew out, it probably took an additional 12 to 14 hours to get that plant back up and running, because they had to finesse each one of the Band-Aids to get it back up and running again. So we've got water we've got to take care of. We've got our sewer lines we have to take care of.
I got a guy, not to interrupt you, Gary, but a guy on the chat room is asking about how much have you attempted to cut from the Placer Road Widening Project? I don't even know what that's about. What's he talking about?
Well, I think the last time I was on here with you, a gentleman either called or on the internet about having a median between it with plants and stuff like that. There'll be no median in the Placer widening. And right now, the Placer widening, I believe, has been put off another year because they're working over on Victor Drive. In doing the upgrades over there. So if I'm not mistaken, I think the Placer is going to be 15, 16 by the time they, and the Placer is from Boston to Airport Way. Numbers are going to widen it to four lanes from Boston instead of just right there.
Why is it being widened? Just the traffic or what?
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of traffic, mostly through the day, but it's really a tremendous amount of traffic in 7:30 to 9 o'clock, and then again about 3:30 to 6:30 or so in the afternoon. And this is nothing new. I mean, people will be out there saying, well, Gary, that happens to be where you live, which it is. And I'm not pushing. If I was pushing, this would be done faster, be sooner. But there are other areas all over town that are having problems. So we need to put more money into our roads. We don't have it. We need to put more money into the water plant and the pump station. I mean, I can go on and on here about things that we need to do.
Right. Yeah, I just wanted to address that because I wasn't sure what the whole thing was about.
Well, if you're going to take anywhere from 8.5 to 13.5 million dollars additional going to have to go into pensions, where's that money going to come from?
That's what I was just going to say, is that 17 million right there on that retroactive could have paid for that widening project.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. And that and a whole bunch more. That widening project's not going to, that's going to be a couple of million dollars.
Oh, I see.
So it's not, we could do a whole bunch of,
a whole bunch of improvements.
See, if you really want to get back to it, in 08, We were putting roughly about $9 million into our streets and roads. Then that $9 million, because of budget reductions, that $9 million went down to $4.5 million. And now it's down to just over $1 million, $1.5 million plus grants that we can get. So, in other words, the budget reductions that we had to do because of the worldwide meltdown have caused us to be in the position we're in now. Now we're going to be in a position, we've got a meltdown coming, that's going to be probably three times as bad as what the global meltdown was with these pensions.
Well, and it's coming across the board. People don't get it because a lot of this is simple math, and everybody wants to bury their head in the sand and go, oh, it's going to be okay. Got a $17 trillion debt going on at the federal level, and that's just a microcosm of every problem that we've got.
And that debt's growing.
And it's growing. You know, what it is that, you know, we are printing $85 billion a month right now to prop up the market. If we stop printing $85 billion a month, this whole thing collapses, and people don't realize that. You know, I mean, all the Fed has to do is say, gee, you know, we're talking about tapering, and the market starts to collapse. Well, that's going to be a trickle down into the cities, because when that starts to collapse, okay, it's going to collapse the economies of these other places that are already in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's going to be a trickle-down effect here. And anybody who thinks that this president is doing something for the country at this point, I think, has absolutely got their head buried in the sand. And it's down at this level. You can see it across the board, and it's just going to get worse. We've got to start pulling our belts in and taking care of the things that we can. We do have a caller on the line.
But we need to go to a break. So we'll pick the caller up on the other side if you hang on there. And the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maria Salas, your host for the Positively Healthy Show. I'm here with an amazing chiropractor who's been in practice for 29 years in Reading, Dr. Murray Coleridge. Hey, Doc, do you have some exciting news to share with us?
Hi, Maria. Yes. First, I want to say it's been an honor to serve the North State community. We have had such great patients over the years. My wife, Gina, and I are happy to announce that we are retiring, moving out of the area, and as of July 1st, you will be seeing my patients. Dr. Maria is my chiropractor, another Palmer grad, and has been in practice over 8 years. I'm confident my patients will be in great hands.
I'm super excited, too. I want to thank you and Gina for all your support over the years and all the adjustments. Thanks for keeping my nervous system healthy, too. So, Doc, what will your shingles say now?
Dr. Coleridge has gone fishing.
All right.
Dr. Maria Salas, HealthWise Chiropractic, 244-9000, 244-9000, on the web, healthwisedoc.com.
Yeah, you got a heart attack. Yeah, there you have it. So we have Terry on the line.
Yeah, we do.
Good morning, Terry.
How you guys all doing?
Hey, great. Load of fun. The fun never stops down here.
Well, on Monday night at the Reading Tea Party, we're going to be showing the YouTube, the filming of the Board of Appeals meeting. I guess you could call it a meeting that was done on Friday, this last Friday, on the 26th of July.
Oh, you mean, Terry, the meeting that wasn't?
Yeah, the meeting that wasn't. The meeting, there was 200 people, and, I guess Mr. Miller, who was a very nice man, came in with his straw hat and T-shirt, and he was the chairman of this board that was three, that's supposed to be five, and he sat down, he, you know, was
so that,
not
that
really
was
sure why he was there, and by the end didn't know why he was there, so what he was supposed to do, and how come there was only three and not five of them?
It's kind of like the movie, The Man Who Knew Too Much, only it was different, was The Man Who Knew Too Little. And it kind of reminded you of Dan Quayle when he was running for president. He's, well, who am I? Why am I here? What am I doing?
Well, you know, Terry, the thing that got me.
I don't fault him for that. I mean, he's a very honest man, but we're going to be showing that. It's very, very interesting. And as probably everybody knows, because of the newspaper and radio and everything else, that this, they just decided to put this meeting off because they didn't have the five people necessary. So I decided to apply for this particular position on the Board of Appeals, and the deadline was July 31st. I had talked to Glenda Tracy. Her response to me was, when I had talked to her about this, what the qualifications were, simply write a letter, you know, who you are, you know, maybe how long you've lived here, you know, a little bit about your background and that sort of stuff, and send me a letter, because there really is no application. So I went ahead and I did that, and as she announces, and you can see on the movie, during the Board of Appeals meeting, she had stated that only three people had given the application. Now, this is Friday, July 26th. Well, I had turned in my application, and myself and one other person who I know very well
will remain unnamed at this
point.
Remain unnamed.
Who's I won't
nameless.
Say anything. He's sitting next to Gary Cabb. But anyway, received this letter, and the letter from the Board of Supervisors states, Terry Raposa has my address, RE, Board of Building Appeals. Mr. Raposa, thank you for your interest in serving for the Board of Appeals. Your letter of interest was received and posted deadline of July 31st, 2013. Due to the volume of letters of interest that have been submitted, may I please request that you send a resume.
Yeah.
Expressing your current involvement in the local community as well as information regarding your background. Please send this updated information by August the 5th, 2013. This letter is dated July 29th. I received it on July 30th. Now, they want me to get this information back to them within, you know, 4 or 5 days. What if it had taken 4 or 5 days to get to me? I would never would have been able to get this information back to them. But I called up Ms. Tracy, and I asked her, I said, well, you know, why did I get this letter? The letter that I gave you complied totally with what you asked me to give you. And she said, well, you know, due to the volume of letters, I said, you had three plus mine, four applications by Friday afternoon. Today's Tuesday. She said, well, we've had 17. And I said, really? And she goes, yeah, and the other letters are a little more, she didn't use the word extensive, but have a little more information than yours. I said, really? Well, I said, how is that? You know, because I knew two of the people who had sent in letters, and two of those letters didn't get there till Monday afternoon. Now, remember, my letters dated July the 29th, okay, 2013. So we know that she didn't get all her letters and could have read all her letters that she got or done anything like this had she had read the letters, because of the fact that it was Monday when she mailed it out to me, and we know she didn't get all her letters by then.
So let's get to the point, Terry, because we're going to run out of time here.
Point being is that we received these letters. When I talked to her about it, her stance was, I just took it upon myself. No one really put me up to this, sending out this letter. And I said, well, why was I singled out? I said, I feel like I've been singled out on this thing. And I said, you have no standard for the letters, and how could you use those other letters as standards for somebody else? Shouldn't everybody be held to the same standard?
Yeah, she didn't even read the letters, quite frankly, because
yeah, she didn't read the letters. Yeah. Mark will tell you that side of it. Go ahead,
yeah,
Mark.
I mean, when she got my letter, and she said that she needed a resume on my letter, and she said because we were still looking for a financial guy. And I said, well, if you read the letter that I sent in, I mean, I've been in the financial industry for 30 years in accounting and tax preparation, and I put that in the letter, and she goes, you know, a little say, oh yeah. So anyway, it was kind of a big joke, and obviously there was some strings being pulled behind the scenes to sort of screen out the people that they want to screen out instead of being honest about the effort. So,
well, the bad part about the board too is that it's supposed to be composed of five members. This is 16.04 6.070. It's supposed to be composed of five members appointed by the Board of Supervisors for two-year terms ending on December 31st of every number, even number years. The board members shall include a licensed architect, engineer, or certified building designer. That's number one. Number two, a representative of a construction trade union. Number three, a licensed building contractor. Number four, a representative of a financial institution, Mark. Number five, a citizen representing the public at large. During the terms, members serve at the pleasure of the Board of Supervisors. Well, Mr. Miller had been on this board since 1968. And there was no indication at all that he'd ever been re-upped.
And there's only three guys, and there hasn't been five, and nobody even knows about the board.
Well, and let's also look at another situation here. With the three members that were there, the county would have needed one vote to win their point of view.
That's right.
And Mr. Anselmo, Anselmo would have had to have had all three votes to win his point. Now, that is in the kangaroo court. I don't know what it is, Terry.
You're right, Gary. One guy could abstain. So it was sort of a lose-lose situation, and Dick Vitan made a good point during that meeting stating that, you know, there's probably $1,800 an hour sitting there in which the taxpayer's paying $900 an hour for these attorneys for the sham. Of course, Mr. Miller rightly so said, hey, we just can't do this. We didn't even have the quorum, and how come we don't? You know, or the five people. And, you know, the whole thing is that this thing was just a dog and pony show. I mean, it was just so obvious, it was unbelievable.
Well, it seems to me that the clerk should be selecting the applicants, not the BOS, even though the applicants are supposed to be serving at the pleasure of the Board of Supervisors. I don't think they're supposed to be picking them, are they?
Yes, that's exactly what it says, because in Section B, the Board shall, explaining what the Board can do, by the way, number 4 under B, says recommended legislation to the Board of Supervisors on matters within purview. All they can do is recommend something to the Board of Supervisors. They don't really have any power. And number 5 is perform other duties as assigned by the Board of Supervisors.
Well, let's listen, Terry. We probably I got some more stuff we got to go over here, but let's table this and let's talk some more about this next week, because this is not something that's going to go away. And next week we'll have a little more evidence on what has happened with the letters, and we can go over it again, because Gary's got a couple other things he wants to cover here, and we only got 5 minutes left. So
all right, buddy. Sounds great.
So let's like I say, next week let's go over it a little more in depth.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling in.
Well, Mark, one thing I'd like to mention here, you know, the people can see what's going on here, you know, from the paper and the kangaroo court that was set up on that appeals, and Mr. Miller was correct in shutting the meeting down. But the thing that the people need to realize is we have a county board of supervisors, and we have a city council. The county board runs the county for the people, supposedly, and the city council runs the city for the people. And the thing that we have to remember, that here too is a 5-member board of supervisors, 5-member council. It takes 3 to get things done. And folks, if you want to make changes in the city, there's things going on you don't like. You need to make sure the things that you need to make sure that, the folks that you want are on these board or councils.
Yeah, we need to get people, at least 3 people on there that are going to start voting for following the Constitution, limited government, fiscal responsibility, you know, that are going to start, you know, making these votes based on what the people are wanting in the community, not, you know, the special interest or their little group of good old boys or whatever they're doing there.
Yeah, and it comes down to the people have a responsibility
to get involved.
To get involved for what's going on with the city and the county. It's not just, oh, we voted, those guys will take care of it. People need to keep an eye. You know, I have to remember that I went to city council meetings. I started in January of 07. And today, up till today, I have missed 2 meetings, 2 city council meetings. This is where I gained the knowledge of what goes on with the council. And people need to realize that. If somebody out there that wants to run for the board or for the council, go to meetings. Start understanding what's going on.
They just need to be plugged in, you say, Gary, at all the levels.
I think we need to – I'd like to see a push for the Board of Supervisors to get that on camera or get it on a day, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning when everybody who's actually working for a living, you know, can show up and see the – I don't know if they've got that fixed yet.
Well, they'd probably have to turn around and have it down at the convention center, because they had 200 people there on it at 9 o'clock in the morning. The next time they have this Board of Appeals meetings – I would imagine there's going to be more people there to listen to what's going on.
Yeah, and still people are taking off work just to get down there. We need to have it like they do the city council. You know, it's 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the evening or something. You know, so that a lot more people can attend and get involved in this. So we're just about out of time here, I think.
Thank you for having me.
thanks for coming in
and giving us some of the information that maybe the people out there weren't aware of.
Absolutely, we appreciate it. And government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio.
And this is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
And you're listening to KCNR in Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. Never have so many U.S. diplomatic posts been ordered closed because of a possible threat of terrorism. 22 embassies and consulates will close tomorrow. The State Department has identified a credible but unspecified Al-Qaeda threat on the Arabian Peninsula.
What is very unusual about this latest threat is just the sheer geographical spread. The area we're talking about is absolutely enormous, from North Africa right across most of the Islamic world through to South Asia in Bangladesh. With the exception of Indonesia, it's pretty much the entire Islamic world.
Sky's Alex Rossi in Cairo, Egypt. Interpol is trying to determine if recent prison breaks in Iraq, Libya, and Pakistan were helped by Al-Qaeda. Its worldwide alert comes the day after the U.S. government warned American travelers to be on guard for the next month. It's looking more likely that 400,000 commuters will have to make alternative